Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Romans 9, but before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the many blessings that you've provided us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I just come before you thanking you for this chapter on faith. Grace provided because of faith. And Lord, I pray as we read, I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to guide us, for you to speak to us, that it would be your voice, your words that we hear, nothing from me, everything from you. May our hearts and our minds be prepared for this so that we can understand it more completely and bring you honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we go from chapter 8, 7 and 8, where it's really, hey, you guys, it's all good. You know, it's there's no more condemnation. Your sins are forgiven and whatnot. To now it's anguish over Israel. Paul loves Israel. He's an Israel. He's a Jew. He's an Israeli. And yet they aren't listening and they aren't accepting Christ's salvation. And they're holding on to their old ways. And they're holding on to the law. So we move into Paul's discussion and his anguish about his land. So let's jump on into chapter 9, verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? What if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but from also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith? But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So faith, the Gentiles they received God's grace and mercy because they sought him through faith. They didn't do it. They knew they couldn't do it by works. They'd been too bad. Yet the Jews and the leadership of the Jews focused on the law, and they thought that they earned it. And with grace, we never earn it. You never earn grace, or it wouldn't be called grace. The other part of this chapter that's very difficult, and some people apparently pass right over it, is the whole concept of the election of people, the preordination of people, where God will use people for certain tasks or certain purposes. And those who he comes against them in his wrath, they were preordained to experience that. And he chooses others to become his. And that's a hard topic for most people. And it's one I don't fully understand. But I have come to an understanding of it for myself, and I'll share that with you. Not that it's right, because again, it's just mine. It's what I've thought about and I've prayed about, and over time I've come to. And that thought is, God knows us. We've got sin in the world. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what I'm going to do. He knows my heart, the type of person I am or I've become. He knows the type of person or the type of person someone else will become. And he says, okay, that person can be used for this purpose. This person can be saved because they'll accept it. And therefore, he then uses those people because it's who they are. And it's who they're going to be. So Pharaoh, he knew he would be this type of person. He knew that he would be stubborn and he wouldn't let the people go. And he made sure that he became Pharaoh so that he could demonstrate his love and his mercy for the Jews. So that's how I've looked at it. I don't know if it's right. This is my perspective. It helps me understand it a little bit. But I know that I'm not on target 100%. So, but I also then think about the fact that God knew that the Israelites would wind up making the law their God. It's who they were. But some of them will perform it and will deal with it out of faith. And others will do it because it's who they are. Not out of love of God, but just because it's kind of like what we do in a lot of our churches. We just do it because it's who, you know, it's what is expected or brings us some sort of pleasure, but it's not really for the love of God. And I think those who are doing it truly for out of faith, maybe they have a different result than, and they are called His children. Yeah, I don't know, but again, it's one of those elements that it's really just a tough part of this book of the Bible. And there's a lot that I don't understand about it. And I've probably just added more confusion to you. But what I do know is grace through faith, mercy through faith, believing in God, and knowing that He's just and He's right, and that He loves me. That's the key. And I've accepted, not accepted, I've so gratefully taking His mercy and His grace for the salvation through Jesus. So with that, let's go back to God and pray. Lord, thank You. Your mercy and Your grace is unwarranted, but You provide it. And I'm so thankful for it. And I pray, Father, that I would grow further in my love for You, in my commitment, in my faith in You. I just pray my heart, my spirit would be open to You, Holy Spirit, that You would be the one that I live for. I'm just so, so thankful for You. I lift up our families. I lift up our friends. May they know You and love You. And may they feel Your presence. I pray You'd be with us this day. We would love You completely to us and would love our neighbors as ourselves. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.